Hey, we're back on golf today. It was one of the more memorable major moments in recent history. 2005 Masters, Tiger and Chris DeMarco battled down the stretch at Augusta National. Tiger won his fourth green jacket. This one in a playoff, forced after DeMarco almost holed out on the 18th in regulation, leaving Woods with a par putt to win. Woods then birdied the first playoff hole to secure the victory. How about this week, though? Big week for the DeMarco family. Chris's son, Christian, is making his PGA Tour debut in the RBC Canadian Open after he earned a spot in a Monday qualifier, which took place on Sunday. The 29-year-old carded five birdies against just two bogeys and shot 3-under-68 at the Pulpit Club on Sunday to take medalist honors.
Let's take a look at the bio for Christian DeMarco. He's making his PGA Tour debut, two-time all-conference selection at the University of South Florida. And that start last month was T45, his Korn Ferry Tour debut at the Advent Health Championship, making the cut. Christian, kind enough to hop on with us here on Golf Today, and you're able to get through that Monday shooter that was actually on Sunday, thanks to that 3-under-68 at the Pulpit Club to qualify for the RBC Canadian Open. What's the excitement level like to make your PGA Tour debut this week?
Yeah, I mean, pretty high. I feel like this is something I've been working for a long time, and obviously growing up around it, watching my dad, like, I knew from a young age this is where I wanted to be, and may have taken a little longer than I wanted to make the debut, but I'm glad it's happening now.
Christian, you're your own man. You have been for a long time, but you do have great institutional knowledge in the house that you grew up in. How much do you lean on your pop in a week like this, and how much do you kind of try to figure it out on your own?
Yeah, I mean, I think a little bit of both. I think growing up around it, it's just nice to talk about, like, doing this stuff with him or how to prepare for a tournament and just really just making it seem like it's any other week. But it's nice. My parents are coming up this afternoon just to have some comfort and some friendly faces around.
Christian, you've been a pro for the last 6-7 years, spent some time on PGA Tour Canada, PGA Tour Latino America. You just made your Korn Ferry Tour debut at the Advent Health Championship a few weeks back, made the cut. Now you're checking the box here on the PGA Tour. What have you found with your game over the past month or so?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've got a really good support system. My coach is up here. We've worked really hard. My mental coach, John Wortman, has been huge and greatly instrumental for me. I think just learning that, hey, they only go by score. So I think for me, growing up around the PGA Tour, oh my God, these guys hit it so good. So I thought I had to hit it amazing. And that's the only way you can compete and play. And I think what I've figured out over the past 6 months is, doesn't matter what kind of game you got to make birdies. And I think just having that attitude opposed to stressing about, oh, am I hitting it good enough or am I chipping it good enough, it really doesn't matter. You have to make birdies however you feel, and that's what I've been doing.
Christian, you've always been an intelligent, engaging young man. You could have done a lot of different things in your life. What's kept you going chasing the dream of golf?
Yeah, I would say a big part of it is my wife. She's a professional athlete as well, and definitely my biggest support system. Her instilling that she believes in me. Obviously, my parents believe in me, and I believe in myself. But yeah, it's been hard at times, just playing Latin America and not playing great, or playing Canadian Tour and not playing great, and just wondering if you'll ever get here. It's tough to grind through that, but my wife's been a huge support system and my parents as well, and it's just good to finally do it.
And what sport does your wife compete in? And then what's it like having a household where you have two professional athletes? And
yeah, she's the athlete of the family for sure. She plays for the Tampa Bay Sun. They got a huge playoff game this weekend on Saturday night at 7:30 on Peacock, so tune into that. But yeah, she's captain of the team, and those games are fun.
No doubt about it. And I also understand she's Canadian, so you got your folks coming up. How many people might you have in the gallery this week, Christian?
Yeah, it's going to be nice. Her family's from up here. She was born and raised here in North York area. So I got the in-laws coming up, sister-in-law, a couple other friends. Got some buddies coming from Orlando. So, yeah, we'll have a good little gallery.
Christian, we see in other sports, I mean, Ken Griffey Jr. is like a famous example. They had the pictures of him as a 6 or 7 year old in the dugout with the Cincinnati Reds. You had senior playing with the big red machine. That he makes good, makes the bigs. For you growing up around the PGA Tour, as a kid, getting to have those incredible memories, experiences of being up close, seeing your dad compete, and now we get to fast forward to you, and you're gonna hit that opening tee shot on Thursday. What do you think it'll be like coming full circle?
Yeah, I think I experienced a lot of that a couple weeks ago in the Korn Ferry event. I mean, it's kind of funny. I was like a little bit more overwhelmed qualifying for that one than I was this one. I think that was a huge step for me. But hanging out at the Masters and watching my dad almost win there, that's when I knew like I wanted to do this. And yeah, it's going to be really cool to like have him be in my position the way I was growing up and me be in his. So it'll be a pretty cool moment on that 10th tee on Thursday afternoon.
Because your dad was battling so many of the big time stars in this game through the years, Tiger, Phil, Vijay, you got to travel around the world and see a lot of historic things. What was your favorite moment, would you say, or favorite memory when you look back to traveling the world with your dad?
It's hard not to go back to the 05 Masters. I mean, that's kind of was the first moment and first time I was 9 years old that something happened and it moved my emotions to tears, and I didn't know why I was crying, whether it was happy crying or whatever. So probably that one, but we've got to do so many cool things. And I mean, I get the question, what's it like having Chris DeMarco as your dad, like a pro golf? Like, I don't know any different, but it was definitely cool being a kid who wanted to be on the PGA Tour, and you have a Bubba Watson FaceTiming you because the iPhone just came out with FaceTime, and hanging out with David Toms or other guys like that, and hanging out with the guys who are on the PGA Tour. So it was cool.
Christian, before we let you go, before you tee it up, what are your goals this week?
My goal is to make a bunch of birdies and see where that leaves us.
Awesome. You'll add them up and sign your card. We'll all be watching, Christian. It's great to see you. Best to your parents and the rest of your family. A lot of people will be watching and rooting for you, pal. Have fun this week in Canada.
Play well.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Thanks, guys.
So I was just texting with Chris DeMarco, who told me Christian's game is in a good place. Chris and Amy, the parents, are on their way to the airport this afternoon, excited to watch their son, Christian, compete on the PGA Tour. All right, folks, coming up on Golf Today, we're checking in with our friends at CNBC. Tonight, the premiere of Curry, Inc., The Business of Steph Curry. Alex Sherman sat down with the four-time NBA champ to talk all things on and off the court. Alex joins us next for a preview of what's to come.
Premiering tonight on CNBC at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, a new CNBC documentary entitled Curry, Inc., The Business of Stephen Curry, hosted by Alex Sherman, the four-time NBA champion. Steph Curry will sit down for an interview which covers his life on and off the court. During Sherman's interview, Curry is asked about the possibility of joining the PGA Tour champions post-basketball.
Would you consider doing like the senior PGA Tour one day post-retirement?
That would be a fun goal to go after, for sure. It's an extremely challenging tour to crack if you're not one of the champion ex-PGA guys that are making that jump after you turn 50. So to do all like the qualifying journey and all that, I'm pretty sure I'll try it. I seen like John Smoltz, Tony Romo, well, he's not at the Champions Tour, but I seen guys who are preparing themselves to do the same thing. And it's wild that 13 years from now, yeah. I'll be age eligible.
The countdown clock is on, and we have Alex Sherman back on dry land with us, the CNBC sports and media reporter. Alex, fascinated by Steph Curry, who has become not just Steph Curry, the four-time NBA champion, but Steph Curry, the brand, the investor, the business owner. How has he morphed into Steph Curry, the businessman?
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable that he has time to do all of this. I mean, not only is he still excelling at now age 37 on the court, but he's the CEO of this mini house of brands conglomerate called 30 Inc. And that's really what the piece is about, the meat of the piece is about, you know, how he's able to run all of these various businesses. And, of course, he has help. And so we speak to some of the division leaders, I guess you could say. He has a bourbon brand called Gentleman's Cut and a media company called Unanimous Media. And he founded a golf league for minority kids to give, you know, black and brown children a chance to play at courses around the country. He has a marketing agency. And you mentioned Curry Brand with Under Armour, which derives a lot of revenue and profit for the company. All of the various businesses within 30 Inc. are profitable, which is somewhat unusual given the amount of athlete businesses that have come and gone over the years. You know, many of them don't fare all that well. And I think his people and his camp really wanted to emphasize the message that, no, no, this is not one of those things. Like, this is a profitable business that Curry has founded and is the CEO of, and he spends a lot of time in the offseason running the business. And, you know, when I asked him, how does he relax? Well, it's playing golf, and it's taking eight-minute power naps to keep him going through the day.
Alex, you were around him on that boat. Did you feel like you were around a high achiever? Did it make sense to you that he could be successful in basketball, one of the greatest to ever do it, and make a successful transition to the business world?
I thought one of the most interesting questions I asked him was, why you? Like, of all of the various people that have ever stepped foot on an NBA court, why are you the greatest shooter of all time? And his answer kind of got at that work ethic, right? It was sort of like, look, by the time I was five, I knew I had a God-given talent to put a basketball through a net. And, of course, his dad, Del Curry, was a great shooter, and his brother, Seth Curry, is a great shooter. But no one on the planet has ever been as good of a shooter as Steph Curry. So why? And he said it was his work ethic, really. You know, it was this sort of combination of constant drive, constant passion, and you see it in all of these other versions of your life. I mean, you think about people you know just in everyday life, right? If you're a high achiever in one area, you tend to be a high achiever in many different areas. And I certainly got the feeling that Steph Curry fits that definition.
How much has Steph Curry been able to leverage the fact that he's in San Francisco, which is the epicenter for all these different entrepreneurial pursuits that seem to be on his plate?
No doubt. He has connections to many different VC and tech investors who some of them sit courtside for Warriors games. I spoke with Andre Iguodala, his old teammate with the Warriors, who's probably the most prominent ex-athlete VC investor. And he was telling me how he talks about business deals consistently with Curry, how to leverage their own celebrity to kick off some of these deals, potentially to get involved with the right people on the ground floor. And Curry has done that a little bit, but clearly his emphasis has more been developing his own businesses rather than investing in others at this point, which is a little bit of a different path from Iguodala, which has really gone the VC route.
Did you get the sense that he was more excited to talk about golf than even basketball, which he's known for around the world?
Have you seen the highlight of, you know, when he makes that hole-in-one in the celebrity golf tournament, the American Century? By the way, that tournament airs in part on the Golf Channel in July, and Curry will be back. He didn't play last year, so he won in 2023, didn't play in 2024 because he was off winning the gold medal in Paris for the Olympic team. He will be playing in that tournament in 2025. You can just, the joy exudes off of him, just like it does for basketball. And so, you know, again, I asked him, well, how do you relax? And he says, play golf. But at the same time, he's also talking about pursuing a potential career in golf by the time he's 50. So even these passions, these relaxation methods, are he's in the back of his mind. He's thinking about, you know what, like I could make these into a post-basketball career if I wanted.
Steph's a really thoughtful, good-natured guy and fun to sit across from and have a long-form interview like you were able to have with him. Was there anything that caught you by surprise that he shared where you thought, okay, I wasn't expecting that response from him?
So I really wanted to try to get something out of, like, is there a dark side to this guy? Because, right, like, he's got to be one of the most likable athletes of the last, I don't know, 50 years more, really, in history. Like, it's hard not to like Steph Curry, even if you disagreed with his politics or whatever. Maybe the most surprising thing he said to me, by the way, I couldn't really come up with a dark side, but the most surprising thing that I remember was I asked him, like, do you have any flaws? And he was like, look, you know, you always want to be a better husband, a better father, but of course I have self-doubt, and I still have imposter syndrome at times. That took me aback when he said that, because, you know, you figure, like, at this point, this guy doesn't have imposter syndrome anymore. But he said no. Like, that never really goes away. And he spends a lot of time thinking about, to that earlier question about why him. He said, I think about that all the time.
Wow.
So, you know, he's an introspective, candid guy, and hopefully that comes across in the interview, you know, if, for people that are able to watch at 9 p.m. today on CNBC.
Love that relentless pursuit of perfection that Steph Curry and so many high achievers have. Alex, I hope your wedge game and your jump shot improved by just spending some time with Steph. We'll be watching at 9 o'clock tonight on CNBC. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And just a reminder, like Damon was leading into, the business of Steph Curry, Curry Inc. It's amazing how many different businesses he's involved with. That's at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on CNBC to catch the premiere. We got more in the show after this.
And Tyler joins us now. Great to spend some time with you. Obviously, you're a sports fan. We see the Steelers logo behind you, but you play a lot of golf, a lot of sports to choose from. What drew you to golf, and how were you introduced to the game in the first place?
Well, my journey into golf is kind of different than a lot of people's. I actually played baseball up until the eighth grade, until my vision had gotten to a point where the doctor said it was no longer safe for me to play baseball. But in high school, I wanted to play a sport and be on a team because I really enjoyed those aspects of just playing sports. And in golf, the ball doesn't move and there's no contact. So the doctors couldn't stop me from playing. And the summer going into my freshman year of high school, my grandpa and I started to work on the course in freshman year. I made the freshman team, and my senior year, I was the co-captain, and it kind of just took off from there.
That's amazing. And Tyler, once you were co-captain and had played golf for a few years, what inspired you to then build on that and pursue a career in golf? And how has your personal journey shaped that goal?
So my personal journey has shaped that goal a lot, actually. Being an adaptive golfer and being visually impaired, being able to go to adaptive golf events and meet people with similar impairments or other impairments that have gone through different things, and just to be able to talk to them and for them to mentor me, and like the friendships I made through that was really important to me. And so I wanted to give back to the game of golf and get more people involved and grow those communities and get more connections like I had. So that's really why I've tried to pursue a career in the game. And then also different opportunities I've had with, like, interning with the Golf Association of Philadelphia or this amazing event that the USGA does, the Pathways Program, which I'm really excited to be a part of.
Well, let's talk about that. Pretty cool for a Steelers fan to get to travel to Pittsburgh later this week for the Pathways internship at the 125th U.S. Open. What are you most excited to learn or experience during your time there?
Well, besides going back to Pittsburgh, it's obvious I kind of bleed black and gold, but I'm really kind of just excited to learn from the USGA and all of the people there on really everything, what goes on behind the scenes, just being able to talk to people at the USGA. I'm excited to spend some time with the different career centers like player relations and see how I can take their information and use that in the adaptive world to grow it and make it better.
And Tyler, you were also a PJ Boatwright Jr. intern with the Golf Association of Philadelphia. What more can you tell us about the role that you had and the helping hand that you lent in launching their adaptive golf programs?
Yeah, being able to intern for the Golf Association of Philadelphia was a great opportunity. I was their adaptive intern. I worked a lot with Anna Kittleson, who is in charge of adaptive golf at the Golf Association of Philadelphia. And being able to work with her was fantastic. We hosted a lot of clinics for people with different impairments, and it was great being able to work with people who are just learning to play golf with their impairment or trying to get better at golf with their impairment. And being part of that was great, and I got to learn a lot. And then on the other side was working on their first adaptive championship, which was last October. And that was great. I got to learn a lot about what really happens behind the scenes for adaptive tournaments and what you have to think of, because there's a lot that goes into the adaptive tournaments that doesn't really go into other tournaments, such as like handicap, accessibility, and all that kind of stuff. And it really was just a great opportunity, and I'm really glad that I got to do it.
Well, Tyler, you've also competed in the USGA's U.S. Adaptive Open twice. It's one of the USGA's youngest championships, and in many ways, its most important championship. Can you shed light on what that experience has been like for you personally?
Yeah, going to the USGA Adaptive Championship has really meant a lot to me. I've been twice. I went to the second and the third one, and going to both was truly just amazing. The USGA does such a good job of making that tournament very special to all the players, and really just an amazing event. From the time you get there, you feel like you're a pro. You walk in, you get your name tag, you get your badge, you swag. And then the coolest part probably to me is when you go down to the range to practice, they have the stands and they ask you your last name and who you are, and then they slide it in right behind you, so people that are walking by can see you, and you really feel like a pro. And I think it's really meant a lot to the adaptive community. It's almost kind of like having our own major and something to look forward to every year, and people try to compete to get there. And it's just really great that the USGA does it, and I look forward to it every year.
Well, Tyler, great to visit with you here on Golf Today, and enjoyed the trip to Pittsburgh. And I'm hoping for you and Steeler Nation, you have a certain free agent quarterback under center this fall.
Yes, thank you. And thank you guys for having me out here. It was great getting to spend some time with you and talk to you guys. So thank you.
And we got Matt Sharpe joining us here on Golf Today. Matt, you're in my turf now, the Lone Star Shootout in Austin, Texas, where I live. What can you tell us about tonight's event and what's in store?
Oh, well, first of all, I didn't know you were going to mention the 40-inch vert. So big thank you to mentioning that. I absolutely appreciate it. The fans, I know, love it. But I have I've never been here, never played the course, but I've heard from the locals that it's fairly short. And my partner, Golden Tate, I think a lot of people are saying we're going to get the job done today, right? And hey, if I got something to say about it with my putting, I think we got a great chance of winning.
Well, if you like the 40-inch vertical, how about getting a couple of aces on par fours that kind of launched the whole, I think, the legacy, the energy around good, the camera work. Can you describe just the shot making? It's really what kind of drew my attention and first caught it to good.
Yeah, the hole-in-ones are just, I mean, they're magical, right? I mean, it's tough to even explain them sometimes, but like that day in particular was insane. You know, Shadow Glen, I've been there, I've played in tournaments there multiple times. I've played that exact same hole multiple times. Our buddy Max, one of our videographers, his dad was like, hey, couple of people have made a hole-in-one on here before. You know, not saying you're going to do it today, but why don't you get a couple angles by the green, okay? And just in case one kind of sneaks by the pin. And lo and behold, Bubby steps up, sticks it to 20-something feet. Micah hits the pin, sticks it to 8 feet. And I said, you know what? Hey, hold my drink and let me lock in here, okay? And then I went ahead and made it. And after that history, you know, it wrote itself for good. And it's been one heck of an adventure.
Matt, I was part of the first few good events that you guys have had on Peacock and done the collaboration with the Golf Channel team. Why has it been so important to have these live events be such a big part of the good brand?
Yeah, I think, you know, doing the job that we do with content creation, I think it's like our best opportunity and best chance to be able to meet the fans and see the fans. And, you know, I meet a lot of families that say, hey, we watch your stuff on, you know, TV together as a family all the time. And we love how family friendly you guys are and how like amazing your group chemistry is and all these sorts of things. So being able to have live events and see the fans in real life and like that be our opportunity to connect and talk with them, it really truly does mean the most, you know, to us to be able to do that, because we just generally don't get a lot of that, seeing our fans and you know, they buy a lot of our apparel and they're representing more than we could ever know. So for us, it's an amazing opportunity to connect and talk and hopefully put on a show.
Lots of great things to watch. They got the Lone Star Shootout. Also, Steph Inc. on CNBC at 9 p.m. Have you guys ever done anything cool with Steph through the years?
You said Steph who?
Oh, there's only one. Steph Curry.
You're talking about the Steph Curry?
The Steph Curry.
You can't be talking about the guy that threw me an hoop. Can't be that guy. can't be that guy. Are you kidding me? We're planning on trying to do something with Steph later in the year again. I think we're trying to get like a section blocked out with him where maybe we can do 9 holes. Hey, who knows? Steph's got a busy schedule, but I would love to do stuff with Steph in the future again. He did a little chip out with us, and he got to learn about Brad and how amazing of a golfer he is. And they talked about my vert, right? Talked about that vert, threw me an oof, right? We connected. The guy was like, holy crap, this guy's insane. But yeah, I'd love to do some more stuff with him in the future. Absolutely.
Who else is on the short list? I mean, you got to do the collab with Steph Curry. Who are some of the names where you're like, all right, that's who we want to check the box that we haven't been able to do some good content creation with?
Oh my gosh, I feel like that list is insane. I mean, Tiger. Tiger's a big one. You know, we're all massive fans of Tiger. We'd love to do Tiger Woods. But we just did stuff with Jack. We just did stuff with the GOAT, 18-time major winner, and not only got to like hang out with him and make a great video, but we got to eat lunch with him and pick his brain about all the stuff that he's done in his career. And that was a big bucket list for all of us. Obviously Jack can't play, but just to be able to sit there and pick his brain and learn about his life and his legacy was incredible. Love to do the same with Tiger. For me, I'm a big actor, right? And obviously we're in Texas. So Matthew McConaughey, right? All right. Let's get that going. Right. I would love to do something with Matthew McConaughey. That would be sick. So I got a lot of actors on the list, but man, I don't know. We've done so much with so many amazing golfers and anyone that comes across our table, we would be more than happy to do something with.
Well, I hope you told Big Jack about your 40-inch vertical as well. He's a big hoops fan as well. The 18 time major champ. Man, it's great to visit with you. Can't wait to watch you this afternoon. You're a hilarious guy and can jump and obviously hit the 3-wood and the driver pretty well too. Congrats, man. We'll see you later today.
Hey, thank you so much, guys. I appreciate your time.
There he is, Matt Scharf. NBC Sports coverage of the Pro Motocross Championship season continues this weekend from Thunder Valley, beginning Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Peacock and continuing 4 p.m. on NBC. And we're now joined by Adam Cincirillo, NBC Sports motocross analyst and an avid golfer and golf fan, we've been told. Great to spend some time with you, Adam. First of all, you were in the dirt for like some 20 years, then you retired, you stepped away. How'd you know it was time 1 year ago?
Well, simply put, it's when I started getting slower. I started getting passed more, started getting beat by guys that don't normally beat me. So yeah, I've got a lot more time now to actually live on a golf course, got my golf cart. A lot of us dirt bike racers, believe it or not, a lot of us, golf is like our escape, our biggest hobby. So for me, golf was like the first thing that I found growing up in the sport. It's the first thing that I found that I enjoyed outside of racing. So it's very close to my heart. I watch you guys all the time. Of course, very excited for the U.S. Open coming up here and just super grateful to be here with you guys.
At face value, you just look at the two sports and you wouldn't think there'd be a ton of overlap. But why do you think there's this attraction for dirt bike motocross racers to also have golf as a hobby? And for you, it seems like a full-time passion now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of it has to do with just chasing perfection and doing your best. I think there's a lot of similarities with golf and with motocross racing, and simply, you know, not looking at the scorecard per se. It's just focusing on the now, hitting the shot in front of you, doing your best. And I think for us, there's so many things that as racers we can't do. You know, like in my contract, I couldn't ride a street bike, I couldn't skateboard, snowboard, or anything like that. So golf is, you know, I guess a lot less risky than a lot of other sports, and it keeps our minds kind of occupied, and all of us just love chasing that feeling. I actually shot my best round ever like 6 weeks ago. I shot a 77 here at my club, Bear Creek, and I think I was more excited to shoot 77, made birdie on 18. I was more excited for that than I was winning a Supercross race, if I'm completely honest.
That's awesome. And we think in PGA Tour circles, Ricky Fowler is the name that comes to mind. Grew up in Murrieta, was a motocross dirt bike racer. His dad, Rod Fowler, was helping him side by side. And he's done a lot of mountain biking, motocross type stuff as well. Have you been able to overlap or cross paths with Ricky Fowler at all? And is he a name that's well known in motocross circles?
He is. Everybody in motocross knows Ricky Fowler's story in terms of growing up riding dirt bikes in Southern California. And us dirt bike racers are very big fans of Ricky. The whole moto community backs him in everything he does. And I've done some work just recently with Cobra Puma. I was able to go down to the Grove in November and play with Ricky. And we've just chatted over the years. I've been out there walking with them at Bay Hill and the Honda Classic, some of those other things. And we've spoken quite a bit over the years. So I think just to have a spokesperson for our sport on such a big stage, to be such a superstar, and for him to be so supportive, I think it means the world for our community.
You're rocking the hat. You're birdieing 18 to shoot 77. You're a real one. I mean, you're clearly entrenched in the game. So give us your dream foursome and dream golf course you would play. What would be that perfect day for you, Adam?
Well, guys, I took the summer off from broadcasting specifically because I want to get the handicap down. We just got into the single digits, so we've been grinding. The course that comes to mind for me is Pebble Beach. I'm not sure exactly why, but from the first time I watched that course on TV, it's just something that something I've wanted to do. I really want to get up there. In terms of a dream foursome, I've had an opportunity to play with some pretty amazing people, but there's nothing better than just getting your best friends together, BSing, betting a little bit here and there. So I think it would just be some of my closest friends, to be honest with you. But like I said, I've been fortunate to play with players that, with my swing and with where I'm at, I probably shouldn't be out there with some of these guys I've played with, like Ricky, for example. But I've been lucky in that regard.
Important question. When you're playing a casual round, are you walking or riding?
Well, guys, as much as I would love to sit here and say that I'm a purist, I carry my own bag, I walk, I've got some bad shoulders, I've got some bad knees. And so that's my excuse. I've got the golf cart, and I will occasionally walk nine holes if I'm feeling frisky. But most of the time, I'm in the cart. I have my cooler, have my speaker. So not the good old fashioned way.
Understandable. As we gear up for the races on Peacock and NBC, what should we be looking for as you kind of point to the guys and say, "Yeah, I used to beat him. I used to beat him, and I used to beat him."
So in the premier class, there's two guys right now. There's the two biggest names in the sport are Eli Tomac and Jet Lawrence. And Eli Tomac is like he's the Rory. He's been around. He's been established. He's won everything there is to win. And Jet is more so young. He's younger than Scotty, but he's kind of a newcomer. Like Scotty, just really turning it on the last couple of years. And you basically have this clash of generations. And Eli Tomac, everybody loves that guy. He's the veteran. We don't know how much longer he's going to race. And then you have Jet Lawrence, young guy, 21 years old, just came into the sport and has been winning everything. So this pro motocross season in the premier class between Eli Tomac and Jet Lawrence, these are two of really the best to ever do it. And, you know, a lot of times in dirt bikes, we retire. For instance, I retired when I was 27 years old. It's a sport that's really hard on your body. So the fact that we've had Eli Tomac, who's now into getting close to his mid-30s, the fact that he's still motivated to go out there and win races, win championships, and we're seeing him battle with this newer generation, that's a really rare and special thing. And so I've been glued to the TV screen and will continue to be all summer long.
Love that preview and the comparison to the best golfers in the world. Adam, this was a lot of fun. We'll be watching. If you find yourself in Connecticut, come on by. We'll get you on some of the great golf courses in the area. Thanks so much, pal.
Thank you guys very much for having me.